Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Unless you celebrate our birthday or an anniversary, we'd like to recognize you. It's good to be in the Lord's house today and to have each one of you with us. A few things from the bulletin here. This afternoon, Brother Jeff's going to be preaching for us. Excited about having him do that. And so we're looking forward to it. We have ladies' retreat coming up. And ladies, they want to have a brief meeting following the morning service. So if you're attending the ladies' retreat, they would like to meet with you following the morning service. And I'll just say right over here in this area where we usually meet when we're having a special meeting. Next week, we're going to have Brother Greg Wagner with us all day. Looking forward to having Brother Greg and Miss Sandy here. I know that they'll be a blessing. Also, this afternoon, following the afternoon service, there needs to be a camp meeting. So if you have children going to camp, they'd like to have a short meeting to give you some forms and things like that. And so if you can attend that, that would be great. Outreach scheduled May 4th, team cleaning May 4th. We have a missionary on May the 5th, PACS program in the afternoon May the 5th, and Mother's Day banquet on May the 11th. From our prayer area there, we have some good news to report, and that is that Mrs. Johnshire's headed home today. She's been staying with Melissa, and so she's going to be able to get back to her own home. And so if you would just continue to pray for her healing, I know she'd appreciate that. Remember to pray for Miss Pat as she continues to heal from her surgery. And we have her caretaker right here, Brother Chip. And a lot of times I say we need to pray for the caretakers, and that is a very, very important prayer, okay? Because it can get wearisome and hard and difficult. And to continually show the love that is needed, we just need to pray for those caretakers. And then all that are listed here, continue to pray for them, lift them up before the Lord. It's good to be in the Lord's house today. Going to have Brother Foster come back and lead us in another song, and then we'll get right into our Sunday school time, which is going to be as we regularly do it. We haven't done that for a little bit, and so it'll be a real blessing. Brother Steve.
If you would stand once again, we'll sing hymn number 18. Take the name of Jesus with you. We'll sing the first and the last verse of hymn number 18.
We are in Acts chapter number 9, lesson number 2 in the series of Paul that we started a little while ago. I'm excited to get back into it here in Acts chapter number 9, looking at the life of Paul and what all that we can learn from his testimony and his devotion to the Lord, and how we can apply those things to our lives that we might be more effective and useful in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, what he's called us to do. There's so much for us as an opportunity to serve the Lord that we need to be taking advantage of, that we need to be partaking of, that we might be used for his honor and his glory. So if you would find your place, we do have some handouts. If you need one, raise your hand, and Brother Potts will get that to you. I think that's an old outline there, brother, but we'll just follow along with mine today. All right, Acts chapter number 9. We'll begin reading in verse number 6. Now, this is Paul's conversion that we're looking at. And we see here in verse number 6, as we pick up with the text that we started with, it says, "And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Now, this is a very important question that all of us must ask the Lord, what he would have us to do. And here at the point of Paul's conversion, we see that he's already submissive to the Lord. He's already asking, what would he have him to do? "And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. And hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. The Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." So we have quite an interesting story here that we want to dig into today as we study out this lesson of Paul's preparation. Paul's preparation for the ministry that God had called him to. So we understand that from the Word of God, being students of the Word of God, that we know that Jesus Christ has gone to heaven to prepare a place for us, and we're thankful for that. We're looking forward to that blessed hope, that day of His appearing, that we can be called up together with Him in the air. But this concept is also true of Christian service. God knows exactly what He wants us to do while we're here on this earth, and He has a purpose for every one of us, and He has a ministry for every one of us to be a part of. And if we would put our ear to the Bible, we can hear God's heartbeat. And that is to evangelize the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He wants us to understand His passion and His concern and His love that He has extended for all mankind, that they might know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And He's called us into that ministry. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, it says this, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." If you're ever struggling to find your purpose in life, just dig into some scriptures like this and you will understand that God has a calling upon you. As a saved individual, He's called us with an holy calling, not according to the works that we desire to do, but according to His works, His own purpose and His grace. So He has a special calling and plan for you. And He will prepare you for those things that He's called you to do. Where He calls you, He will lead you, He will guide you, He will prepare you. So, like so many others in Scriptures, we can look at the life of Moses, we can look at the life of Joseph, David, Daniel, and many others. We can see a definite preparation that God placed within their lives to bring them to a point where they were ready for what God had purposed them to do. And they were well prepared and ready at that time when God had put them in a specific place for a specific time, for a specific ministry. So every surrendered believer will undergo some period of preparation. And we understand that, you know, even in Sunday school, even in coming to church, our time of personal devotion, all those times are preparation. God preparing us for what He has us to do, that we might learn of the Word of God, that we might take those things that we then learn, apply them to our own personal lives, and then be able to extend those things to others and share them with them as well. So it may or may not include a formal education, but it will certainly involve spiritual growth. So all of us at the time that we are saved start the sanctification process, and that sanctification process is our spiritual growth, setting ourselves apart unto God and becoming more like Jesus Christ. And we do that by examining the Word of God and letting the Holy Spirit of God convict our hearts of things that we need to change, that we need to surrender to God. And all those things are a part of God's working in our life to fulfill His purpose. So we understand this, that growth requires change. If anything's going to change in our life, or if we're going to grow in our life, we must understand that it involves change. So we must allow God to shape and form us into a vessel ready for His service in which He chooses. 2 Timothy 2:21. Now, Paul is investing here in the life of Timothy, and he understands that Timothy's been called to the ministry, and now Paul's investing in him, trying to help him along the way and prepare him for the ministry God's called him to. He says this to him. He says, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." So we have this calling here upon our life, and this calling involves us separating ourselves from things that are ungodly, separating ourselves from things that are sinful, things that would not be pleasing to the Lord. So we're called with an holy calling. So we understand that this holy calling involves that we are separating ourselves unto God in a way that we want to live righteously, that we want to live pleasingly in the sight of God. So this is what Paul is investing here in Timothy. He's telling him, hey, you've got to set yourself apart. You've got to purge yourself of these worldly sinful things, and then you can be a vessel of honor, meet for the master's use. So as we look at this conversion here of Paul, we see, as we investigate, we can see God's sovereign plan all along in this, in the life of Paul and what He's calling him to do. So I believe we understand that God has a specific plan for each of us. You know, there may be days we forget that, but we must remember that God has a specific plan for every one of us. And God wants to mold us. He wants to grow us. He wants to use us. And He carries out His work in our lives individually. So He's specifically working in your life today. Not just my life or the pastor's life, but He's working in every life today. And that's an awesome God that we serve, that He can work in every individual life at the same time. But God is working, and He desires to work in your life. We will only find that true happiness as we seek God's will and follow it. So if you're seeking for peace and for satisfaction today, if you're seeking for fulfillment, you're only going to find it in the Lord Jesus Christ and fulfilling the will that He has for you. So God has a special plan for Saul of Tarsus, even after his conversion. We see in verse number 11, just after Saul trusted Christ as his personal Savior, God told a Christian in the city of Damascus named Ananias about Saul and instructed Ananias to seek out Saul. He gave him specific instructions here is what he was to do. And this meeting with Ananias was to get him started on a path of God's will for his life. So Paul asked the question of God, what would thou have me to do? Well, the first thing was to arise and go here to the city of and find this man named Ananias. So God told Ananias about Saul. He specifically mentioned that Saul was praying. This is a good thing for a newly converted Christian to do. To begin praying right away and asking God, you know, for His will to be done in your life. And this is what Paul is doing. So what this new believer, so recently such a ferocious opponent of God's people, what is he praying about? what is he asking? Remember his two questions to the one who met him on the road to Damascus. First he asked, "Who art thou, Lord?" And then, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" So recall Christ's answer here. He says, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." So one of the great lessons here that we can derive from the life of Paul is this. That from the beginning of his life as a believer, he asked God for direction and faithfully followed God's direction. And that's what God is asking for us and our commitment to Him. Just continually, daily, be pleading, "God, what would Thou have me to do? Guide me, lead me, direct me, show me the next step in my life." So interestingly, as God instructed Ananias to minister to this newly converted Saul, He told Ananias that He had a sovereign plan for Saul's life, which He would eventually show him. So let's investigate here. What is this plan? First, we understand that Paul would greatly serve. So point number one is God's sovereign plan. Letter A under that is Paul would greatly serve. So God had big plans for Paul, and we see this evidenced throughout Scripture as we have it before us today, and we can understand what all God did through the life of Paul. But God told Ananias, "He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." And we can look back now on the life of Paul and understand that God fulfilled all of that through the life of Paul. So we know Saul, later known by his Greek name Paul, wrote over half of the books of the New Testament, traveled countless miles, evangelized an untold number of people, started churches, and mentored pastors. Throughout Paul's life, God accomplished much through this dedicated servant. But God has big plans for you too. In fact, God made each of us a definite purpose. And He had this purpose in mind even before we were ever born. He knew exactly what His purpose for each one of us was. So both Jeremiah and Isaiah testified of this. Jeremiah 1:5 gives testimony of this. "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." So Jeremiah already had a purpose even before he was formed in the womb. Isaiah 49:5, "And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength." The psalmist David understood this truth as well, as he went on to say in Psalm 139:14, he says, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee, and when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." God knows exactly what He wants to do with your life. The question is, will we submit to God's will? Will we allow God to perform His will in our life? He knows exactly what He wants to do through us. And while not all of us are called to be pastors or even a full-time Christian worker, we are in a place of service every day. God has called us into the ministry. He's called us to be a messenger of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be ambassadors for Him. So all of us are called to the ministry. We may just not label it full-time as where we receive a paycheck for it, but we are called full-time to serve the Lord. All of us, we are called to serve the Lord. Jesus was speaking to ordinary people when He gave what He called the Sermon on the Mount. And in this sermon, He explained that His people are to be the salt of the earth. We are the ones that God has left here to spread the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the light of the world. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13 says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. You begin to see that God has a divine plan here. As we began to see the heart and mind of God and these scriptures unfolding before us, we see that He has something that He's desiring to do in every one of us. And we can begin to see that behind this heart of God is the purpose to evangelize the world and share Jesus Christ with all lost individuals. And He wants to perform that in Christians, and He wants to mold you and make you into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So, I would have you to be thinking about this. How does your life line up with this purpose here that we are seeing unfold before us? We see that God placed a purpose on the life of Paul. Hopefully you're thinking about God's purpose on your life. And just see how they match up. Over here we have God's will for your life. And then over here we might have what you're performing as your will for your life. We need to get to the point where they match up. Our will and God's will are aligned. So as we continue to dive into this topic, these analogies tell us that we are supposed to be preservers of what is good, as well as lights that point people to God. So we're preserving what is good. Well, what is good? Well, we understand that anything from the Word of God is good. We know that God is good. We know that Jesus Christ is good. We know the Holy Spirit is good in our life. We know that coming to church is good. All those things that are pleasing to the Father are good. These are the things that we are to be putting on in our life, that we are to be applying, that we are to be displaying to those around us, pointing people to God. Often we think serving God is only done vocationally, perhaps as the pastor or missionary or evangelist, but God has called every one of us who are Christians to serve Him. And we can serve through our witness to our neighbors, our friends, our co-workers, and others whom God has placed in our lives. In every sphere of your life, your family, your work, your relationships, God has given you a unique opportunity to be a light and a testimony and to serve Him by serving others. So all of us can serve the Lord. Through our serving, through the local church ministry, God has done something miraculous here, something glorious in establishing the local New Testament church and giving us a place that we can come and learn of God and then take those things that we've learned and have an institution by which we can go out now and evangelize the world, not only through the efforts that we can do locally in our community, but through the outreach that we have through missionaries that we can support around the world. Isn't it wonderful to be able to reach nations around the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ because of the ministry we have here at Shawnee Mission Baptist Temple? God designed it that way. God knew how to evangelize the world. We just need to plug into His plan and fulfill what He's desiring every one of us to do. So He has unique opportunities for every one of us to serve Him. He needs everyone serving. The church needs everyone to jump in. The church is referred to as a body. Now, how do we feel some days when part of our body doesn't want to perform the way it should? My wife has a sore ankle today. Her ankle isn't wanted to support her walking on it today. Well, That's not a good place to be. And consider that now, if you're that bad ankle in the church and you're not supporting the ministry, you're not fulfilling your part. Well, we need to consider what God's called us to do and understand that every one of us are a member in particular of this body of Christ, and we need to fulfill His purpose in it. So we need to jump in and serve in a number of ways. We have many opportunities. You know them. Just find your place and become a part if you're not already. So there are a myriad of opportunities to help your church function and reach others with the gospel. Although you may feel that some areas of service just aren't that important, the reality is that no task is too small, that no task is insignificant to God if it's done in an attitude of service and submission to the Lord to bring Him honor and glory. That's all that matters. He's looking at the heart, and He's looking at your willingness to serve. When we consider, you know, everything is significant, every member of the church, Shawnee Mission Baptist Temple, every member is significant and has a part. We can think of many things that would go along with this, but those of us that work on cars understand the value of an oil plug. Without that oil plug, you know, it's just a small little piece. But if it doesn't go back in after you change the oil, you're soon going to have disaster. That engine's going to blow up on you, and we see the significance of the small things. The things that we don't even see that go on in this church behind the scenes, understand that they're significant for the function and operation of this church and the ministry that goes on here. Everything is important in the service of God. So in the church, every member does not perform the same task, but every member is important. Paul compares the body of Christ, the local church, to the human body, as we've already examined a little bit. But let's look at some verses that go along with that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4 says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." So we all have varying gifts. Some we may share some of those gifts, but we all have spiritual gifts that God has given us. We have the same Holy Spirit. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Verse number 12. "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body." So we all have an important function. I can't tell you whether you're the toe or the fingers, the arm, but understand that you're a part of this body here at Shawnee Mission Baptist Temple, and you have a role to fulfill. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. "From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Now there's some depth here to what was just been said here in that portion of Scripture, and understanding that as we become involved and as we begin to minister in this body together, that we see that that body begins to build itself up in a way that, you know, we see one person getting on fire and serving the Lord, and then someone else gets on fire and starts serving the Lord, and we just see it build and build and build upon itself. And then we see a whole church that's on fire for the Lord, edifying of itself in love. So when each of us are doing the work God has called us to do, the local church will effectively accomplish its mission, what God has purposed it to do, what God has called every local New Testament church to do. And what did He leave with the churches to do? To spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave them the Great Commission, did He not? He gave the church the Great Commission to go out and to evangelize the world. And to accomplish that mission, then we have to understand what the body is, what it's been created to do, and how it is to function then as God has designed it. So every task is important, and nothing done for the Lord is in vain. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58 says this, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So we tend to get distracted with so many things in our life, and we understand that that can be a tool of the devil to distract us from what God is desiring for us to do. We can be grounded once again as we look to verses that such as this that we've just read. This is where our mind should be, and this should be our motto, if you will, that I'm going to purpose in my life that I'm going to be steadfast, that I'm going to be unmovable. And because of those things, I'm going to always be abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain to the Lord. So as we put ourselves and all of our motivation and our ambition behind Scripture such as this, those distractions tend to fall away because our focus becomes once again on the real goal, on the will of God for our life. And we are strongly desiring to fulfill that will. So as we see here in letter A, that Paul would greatly serve. And there's no doubt about that. None of us would contest that Paul greatly served the Lord. Letter B is Paul would greatly suffer. Not only would he greatly serve, but we see in his life that he would greatly suffer. God also revealed that Paul would suffer for Jesus' name. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 16 of our text, it says, "For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." So So years later, and in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he listed some of the hardships that he had gone through for the name of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23 says here, "And they are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, saved one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of the waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness." What a great testimony that through all of this, Paul did not quit. Paul kept moving forward. So I pose the question today, what causes you to quit on God? What amount of suffering or trial or tribulation would cause you to stop serving the Lord? I think as we look to the life of Christ specifically, as we understand all that He endured to pay for our salvation, we should be able to say that there's nothing that I'm not willing to suffer for the name of Christ. And I think Paul, understanding this as well, was willing to go through all these things that we just listed because he knew the cause, the purpose that God had placed on his life was more important than anything that he might suffer in his physical life. What is the most important thing? I would submit to you today that it is performing God's will. Serving the Lord with your life is the most important thing. And it's hard for us to get past things that come into our life that are hard, that are physically damaging sometimes, emotionally damaging. It's hard to overcome those things. But as we begin to look to God, as we begin to get our focus and attention once again on Him, and out of the realm of the temporal and into the realm of the eternal, then we can begin once again on this journey of serving God the way that we ought. So Paul would greatly suffer in this ministry. Everyone, both saved and lost, faced trials and troubles in life. We understand that's a part of this sin-cursed world. So being a Christian and dedicating your life to service for Christ doesn't exempt you from those things. And we see evidence of that throughout history and even in present day. But as we considered probably a book that most of you have read, Fox's Book of Martyrs, relates story after story of faithful Christians and believers facing persecution down through the centuries, and many died faithfully as they had lived faithfully. You know, we often hear this when something happens in the life of a Christian that is tragic. We often utter the words that they don't deserve this. And I understand that. But we're not promised a life of ease. And we need to recognize that this life comes with suffering. And we're going to face it. And we must prepare ourselves from the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit of God, for those times. Being prepared to stand in the midst of difficulty, of trial, of tribulation. So we see over the years, many died as they served faithfully. We've heard story of many missionaries that have died on the field as they were endeavoring to minister, and we ask the question, why? They're trying to reach them with the gospel. Why would that happen? So they, like the apostles spoken of in Acts 5:41, rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for His name's sake. It's all about perspective. It's all about understanding God's will, aligning your life with His will. Hopefully, we're not going to be faced with martyrdom, but we will face difficulties. Sometimes we find it hard to live out our faith in the trials of our lives. It may be health issues, financial issues, ridicule from those around us, or even the daily complications life brings that can challenge us to be faithful to God. As Paul was investing again in the life of Timothy, he was preparing him for situations such as this. He says in 2 Timothy 3:12, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." If you haven't suffered yet, you will. "All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But know this, that our trials and our difficulties have a purpose." Romans chapter 5 and verse 3. "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations." How many of us, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of us glory in tribulation? "Also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." That's where we want to get, right? That word hope. But it's a process. And God understands better than anyone how to work that process, and how to get you to the place where He wants you to be, and how to fulfill His purpose in your life. Our duty is to submit, to be willing to serve, to be willing to follow. 1 Peter 5:10. "But the grace, the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus." That's a wonderful verse. Just starting out, the God of all grace. The word grace in and of itself should fill us with joy and thankfulness and gratitude. But understand this, that He's the God of all grace. That God, that same God of all grace, has called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus. "After that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." Those are all things that we would strive for, that we would want and desire in our life. God can fulfill it in your life. God is the source. God had a sovereign plan for Paul, and He has a sovereign plan for you as well. He has a place for you to serve, and He will empower you to fulfill your calling. And He is faithfully with you in all of your trials and working for your good and for His glory. It's hard for us to see sometimes, isn't it? But that's why it's called a life of faith, this Christian walk. We have to trust that God knows best. And as we fix our mind and our heart on that fact, you know, it's hard to understand and know what is truthful today, but we can rest assured that God is faithful and true, and His Word is faithful and true. So we have to take these Scriptures that we read, and we have to build our life upon them, and we have to stand upon them, and even in the most difficult of circumstances, begin to stand on those things that we know to be true. We're grasping for things in the midst of difficulty. May we grasp and reach forth for the truth of the Word of God and begin to build again on those things that we know to be true. So as we're looking here at God's purpose for our life and understanding that He is working these things in our life for our good and for His glory, I'll leave you with this today, Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. You know the verses very well, but might they resonate with you once again? And ask God to help you really apply these principles to your life. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God." That's a blessed promise. To them who are the called according to His purpose. Who are called according to His purpose? Saved people. If you're saved today, this applies to you. Verse 29. "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." So we've mentioned many times in this lesson that there is a will that God has for every person, every individual. And know this, that that will has been established for all of time. It doesn't change. God has a will. And His will is this, summarized in verse 29. This was His will, that those that would accept Jesus Christ as Savior, this is what He wants them to do. He wants them to be conformed to the image of His Son. And as they are conformed to the image of His Son, through that testimony, they are glorifying God. We read many verses about that previously. As we begin to glorify God through our life, then we are effectively ministering who God is to a lost and dying world. It's through Jesus Christ in us and through us that the world is drawn to Him. That they can see Jesus Christ high and lifted up through the testimony of our life. So you can see God's plan. And He has that purpose and a plan for every individual. And His purpose and plan for all of mankind is that they would be saved. He wants all men to be saved. And Jesus Christ spoke of it Himself. And His desire in coming to this earth is that all mankind might be saved. And as individuals accept Jesus Christ, then He goes on with His will in their life. He wants to conform them, as we just mentioned, to the image of His Son and use them as He used the life of Paul to be a minister to many that God would bring in His life. May God use every one of us in His service for Him. And may we examine our lives and ask ourselves the question, am I submitting myself to God that He might glorify Himself through me, that I might serve Him in a way that is pleasing in His sight, that is effective in reaching the lost for the Lord Jesus Christ? Heavenly Father, we're thankful today for the testimony that we can see in the life of Paul, ultimately You working through him and what You can do in a life that is submitted to You. And Father, I pray that You'd help every one of us to examine our lives today and just ask ourselves once again, am I fully submitted to You? Am I fulfilling Your purpose in my life? Is my will aligned with Your will? Father, they're all important questions. And it all boils back to the question that Paul asked, what wilt Thou have me to do? We must all ask that question on a daily basis. God, what wilt Thou have me to do? Direct me, guide me, show me Your plan and Your will. Father, I pray now for the service to follow. Speak again to our hearts and we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for your kind attention. We'll meet right back in here at 10:30.